At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome to the Pageant Masterclass. I'm Ashley Williams Allen. Let's get started. I am so excited because today's episode is an interview with the incredible Kristen White. Kristen and I both work in the entertainment industry. She is a sought-after hair and makeup artist who has put her mark on numerous films, TV shows, music videos, and red carpets. She's also a pageant winner. She competed in the Miss America and Miss USA systems, and she was crowned Miss Black USA in 2008. We met judging a state pageant together, and you guys, I absolutely adore her. In this interview, Kristen gives some of the absolute best advice I've ever heard when it comes to competing in pageants. And she also had some just generally wise life advice. So I decided to divide my interview with her into two parts. Part one is just straight up practical, pragmatic advice to help you succeed in a pageant from a judge's POV. And then part two is a combination of pageant and life advice that is absolutely worth its weight in gold. Kristen is a powerful woman of integrity, and I am so grateful that you guys will have the opportunity to glean from her years of experience in pageantry and the entertainment industry. So let's get started with part one of my interview with Kristen White. Kristen, thank you for being here. I am so excited.
I'm so excited too.
Okay, I want to get right into your advice for pageant contestants. So let's just start with the basics. What advice would you give a contestant about her headshot?
Look like you. Do not walk in this room. Everybody knows what FaceApp is. FaceApp is an application on your phone that is AI driven, okay? And it helps put like images over your face to smooth out. And you have levels, right? You have a level one and you have a level five. If in person you're a one, do not walk in this room as a with a five as a picture, okay? Because we're like, where is that? Where's this girl? Because this is not like, what is happening?
It's so crazy.
If girls knew how much that does not bode well for them, these overly air. Now, if you can walk in looking like it. Chef's kiss. Please blow me away with your glamour. Give me Beyonce wind blowage in person. But if you are not that, I would rather you do what we call digitals. I would rather you stand outside in your driveway with natural light and just some good BB cream and just let the light shine. And you take that picture and you walk in and blow me away. I would rather that than these overly produced pictures that just aren't you. I just want you to look like yourself.
It's so funny. Every single person that I've interviewed has given that same advice. And I don't know how to help girls. I don't understand why girls don't receive it. From a judge's perspective, I think like the purpose of the headshot is to be able to identify the contestant, you know, like we're interacting with the shots weeks before when we get our books and then we are literally using that picture to identify who the girl is, you know, as we're like back in our hotel rooms, kind of reassessing and having a picture that doesn't look like them is confusing.
I wish girls would put that in mind. It's like, no, if you're going to give us that dynamo picture, come in the room looking like that.
Yeah. Amen. Okay. Their application or like the bio that they submit for the judges, what advice would you have there?
So it's a great piece of advice that I got from someone. And I do this all the time. Go through your fact sheet and make it a question. Obviously outside of age, name or whatever, but if it's like, you know, please tell us one of your favorite things or whatever. Think about a story, you know, think about something that is authentic to you rather than just answering the question. No, like really think about life occurrences that have happened and answer these questions almost like it's a conversation, as opposed to let me just make up something really great to say. Think about things that actually happen. You know what I mean? Whether it's with you, whether it's a friend, whether it's something that you've been a part of. It keeps things real to you, as opposed to being these like anecdotal blurbs that aren't authentic. Like, it's almost like you can tell when somebody else wrote your paperwork. When you come in and it's like, okay, so this was really like bland, or this is really wordy and overthought out. Like, I don't know if you did this. This sounds like somebody like twice your age, or, you know what I mean? Or it's just not, it's not authentic to you in terms of the voice that's speaking. Now, I'm not saying anything about like grammatical errors and editing. I'm not talking about that. I'm literally talking about the voice of, because your paperwork has a voice and it speaks to us. And so when we pair that voice with your picture, it all kind of has to like correlate. So I would say take every entry that you're being asked and really like have a conversation with yourself about that entry and then write your answer. Like, what about your life can you apply to this question? Make it as personal as you possibly can.
I think that's such wise advice, because at the end of the day, the application is just something that the judges are going to use for your interview. So you have to be able to talk about yourself in an authentic way. That is so smart. So that then,
in a very authentic way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Find the story. So,
yes. So, well, when it comes to interview, what would be your advice there?
I think girls are terrified when they walk in the room. I think you have these five adults across the table, and I have RBF really, really bad. So I think it can be very intimidating, but I would just think like, understand the judges want you to win. I don't know if girls really don't get that. Like, we want you to be so great. We are not looking forward to ripping you a new one. We are really like, oh my gosh, she was great. I loved her. And I know, with this last panel that I was on, we wanted like that girl to come through and be so undeniably great that I'm just like, man, that girl, I'm so proud we crowned her. I don't think any judge ever said, I can't wait to lay into these girls today. Nobody said that. We just really want, and I think I loved judging with you guys, because, and I think a lot of panels are this way. We took a lot of pride in, let me make it a safe space for them. Hey, let's okay, like, I see it's getting a little tense. Let's move on to another line of questions. We'll come back to that, you know, not be able to go toe to toe, but just know, like, these judges, they really want to see you win, you know, like, they really, really do. And if you're judging correctly, you're like that in every phase of competition. I want you to win in every phase. I'm not trying to like take points from you or shave. Like, please kill that myth that judges are in on this conspiracy theory to like, I can personally say, no, we were really looking for the girl that we just really resonated with and we just liked her. I couldn't have told you what her history was before that pageant, or who was her boyfriend, or what director did. None of us knew any of that. We were just like, okay, I liked her. I didn't like this. That was really cool what she said. It was really very, and most judges are like that. That's what I would tell a girl, like, be nervous with your board. But with us, please, we want to know you.
Yes.
Like, just know that they want to know you. So I think if girls could just think about it like that, maybe that would help.
Yeah. Well, one thing I think is that 1000% we were so for every single girl. So there are times as judges, though, like an interview, where we ask hard questions, because it's a job interview. They are interviewing for this title, you know, and it's a big deal. So when it comes to answering hard questions and showing up as the winner and showing us that you can't hold this title, what would you say? How do you go about that? Because one thing that I noticed in South Carolina was that it was like they were afraid to answer hard questions. They didn't want to offend somebody by their answer, you know?
Recognize that this is a job, because it is. Let me tell you, being on the other side of it, the glamorous part is about 15%. 85% of it is, I got to go here. I'm speaking to kids. I'm talking to this. I'm tired. I got to be very time efficient. I need to over, you know, it's a job. So when you are getting these hard questions, it is not to attack you. It's because we're under the understanding you want the job. Our job is not to find a strong top 15. Our job is to find the winner. So if a competitor understands that, hey, they're actually not here looking for the top 10. They're looking for the winner. So you're going to get the nice, light personality questions, but we're also going to ask you those hard-hitting questions because we need to know that you can handle, not that you just need to know all the politics and pop culture, but can you handle adversity? Can you handle opposing opinions? And that is more than just an interview. It could be wardrobe, and it could be where you want to go, what you want to do, how you want to promote your platform. You need to be able to stand firm, stand your ground. Can you speak to people in a coherent, respectful fashion if we maybe don't agree, or if I want you to explain something? So understand, you're still in a job interview.
Yeah.
And once you understand that, the hard questions won't throw you off because it's like they are interviewing for the job.
God, that's really good advice. Okay. What about swimsuit or fitness competition? What advice would you give there?
Work out, like go to the gym. That's the best. I'm not saying you have to starve yourself and have, I think that is the beauty of competing in this era of competing is we now understand athletic body type and bigger body types. So you got a little bit more leeway. With that being said, though, like, girl, go to the gym. There's a gym on every college campus. There's a Y, Lifetime. Do a crunch. Try. it speaks to your discipline. I wasn't looking for the thinnest girl, but I was looking for the girl. Like, girl, do you try? Do you have a routine? Because if I saw a girl who was physically fit, this is one thing that I did know without having to ask. She gets up in the morning, probably. She eats a certain way, which means her lifestyle moves a certain way because she has to maintain this body. So I know there's not a whole lot of partying. There's not a whole lot of drinking and crazy activity because in order for her to achieve this body, there had to be some level of a routine and there had to be some level of consistency, which speaks to other parts of the job. Again, if girls went into competing understanding this is a job interview and didn't go into the phases of competition separately, like understand they're all connected. So if you have great wardrobe, your interview's great, wonderful, but you kind of jiggled all across the stage. You know you didn't work out and it's kind of obvious. We also see that. So we know, she's great. A little discipline, need to be a little bit more disciplined here. You might get a top five, but you didn't win. And that might have been the difference. And it's not because you weren't thin. It's because that routine, we could see there's a little hole there, but this young lady over here, she might not be a 10 in everything, but we can tell there is a consistency across the board, right? That was like, hey, I think she can handle this job. You know what I mean? Like, it just lets me know she's living a healthy lifestyle. So that's, when it comes to swimsuit, it's less about aesthetic and more about, you know, what is it saying about how I'm going to maintain this doing the job?
That is the absolute best answer I've ever heard about swimsuit and fitness and what it says about your self-discipline. That is such good.
You could just tell there was one young lady that I've judged. And her body to this day sticks out to me because I knew she worked for that body. This was not a fad diet body. I mean, her body was just beautiful. And you could tell that she probably had great genetics, but you could just tell like she was just toned and defined and she won swimsuit and all of that. But you could just tell like she took care of her body. In her interview, she spoke about that. Like, you know, this is what I do. And this is how, and it was very indicative when he saw her. And it's like, yeah, if nothing else, we know this is a disciplined girl. It speaks volumes. You know what I mean? On top of her being beautiful, you just knew, okay, well, when I see her in 6 months, if she wins this pageant, she's probably going to look like that. Because yeah. Clearly you've been doing this a while to get here. You know what I mean? It says a lot. It really does.
Gosh, that's so, I love, that's such good advice. Okay. One thing I'm really interested to get your perspective on is talent, because obviously I competed in USA, so I didn't have to do a talent because I don't have a talent. And then judging America was the first time I really was immersed in this.
I'm like a talent Nazi.
So like, what advice do you give, you know, from a judge's perspective and from a contestant's perspective?
Okay. I'm a singer. So, and I noticed this with judges. When judges are proficient in a certain skill set or talent, you tend to be a little bit more technical. I'll just say this. Gosh, it is all connected. Pick something that is authentic to you that you can actually pull off. You know, like, don't pick something that you just cannot execute well. And there are levels to things, right? So like, you have your beginner, your intermediate, and advanced. But if you're going to do a dance, right, and you know that it's maybe like at an intermediate level, but make it the best intermediate level that it could possibly be. If nothing else, make it clean and technically sound. You know, if you're a singer, pick a song you can hit all the notes. I would rather you sing something clean and it's on pitch than you went for this note and it's like, girl, that is not on the scale. Did y'all hear that? I know y'all heard that. That is not on the scale. Okay, that's not a note. I want to pick something that you can deliver. And also for young ladies that maybe you might not have a traditional talent, entertain me, if nothing else. At least make it entertaining. You know what I mean? And get in front of people, because there are some talents I've seen and I'm like, so did you do that in front of people yet? Because I feel like the opinions that we have, that would not be the first set of opinions that would think what we just thought. So I feel like, did you do that in front of people? Because I feel like people would have told you what we were thinking.
Well, this is a good question I have. Like, a lot of times people do not surround themselves with objective opinions, because your mom may not tell you that doesn't sound good. So how can contestants find honest judgments on their performance?
Strangers.
Before they go?
Strangers. I highly recommend, like, and when I say strangers, maybe just the collection of people that are not always around you. So maybe they don't always see you all the time. So when they give you that initial reaction, it really is an authentic reaction that is going to be very similar to how judges will see your talent for the first time. We don't know you typically, so it's like, we're seeing it for the first time. I would encourage people, your local library. Ooh, I'm about to put somebody on game about this. Most local libraries have an auditorium or some type of space that they can do like classes or whatever. And it's free. It's because libraries are community. Go to your local library, talk to the, I guess it's librarian, and say, hey, can I rent this room for whatever? What does that look like? There is some library in your community that does it. And then just invite people. Hey, can I get 10 people? I just want you guys to come and see something. You'd be surprised how many people would say yes. We used to do it all the time in prepping. I'm telling you what works. And do your talent in front of them. It is the best, because you'll get those raw, ooh, what was that twirl you did? I don't know, your foot was weird or what. And it'll allow you to fine tune that talent in a way that people outside of your brain and outside of your board will be able to really give you a raw understanding. And you might not like it, but it's better to get it from them than from judges, because that's also how judges are looking at it. Like, who picked that? Why did you do? You know what I mean? Like, it's the best thing to do. It. And it, for a lot of girls that I've helped prep over the years, that's exactly what we would do.
That is great advice.
Just go ask. And it doesn't even have to be a bunch. It could just be 5 people, 3 people. Come with me for an hour. I'm going to do my talent for you guys. And that's honest opinions. And you want that.
That's for sure.
Yeah,
that's great advice. And so you have such good advice. Okay. What about evening gown? What's your advice for evening gown?
There's something that Marilyn Monroe said that she would do when she would leave the house. She had a body mirror. And if anything on her was distracting from her moneymaker, if anything distracted from what she was trying to present, she took it off. Meaning, I know that it could be saucy, it could be great, but if it distracts from the whole overall look, I'm not going to wear it. That is how you should pick your evening gown. If you put on a dress and all I see is dress, I don't care how gorgeous it is, I don't see you. So pick the dress that I see you. And when I say you, I mean as a total package. When I look at that, I just think she looks beautiful, not that's a beautiful dress. Pick the dress that when you put it on, I lose the dress. I just see you. The dress disappears. That, and then there are some dresses that are just showstoppers, right? It's just a showstopping dress. However, if you put the showstopper on and you are not a showstopper, the dress is still the showstopper. As a judge, we're just going to say, that's a really nice dress. Another thing I would say is, I do not want to see your hoo-ha. Please do not hoo-ha me. So do a split check. Have somebody sit lower, because I don't want to feel like I'm gasping, like, am I about to see something when this girl walks? Because I notice a lot of girls love a, and I love a split. Oh, I love a split. But if you're competing, I love a sexy dress. Just make sure, again, when I see this dress, I'm not seeing your split. I see you.
Yes.
Nothing distracts from you. And that's at color and stuff, it doesn't matter. But that really, it doesn't. I know people think it does. It does not.
It's, oh God. I mean, I feel like, I don't think I ever really, until this past judging experience, understood you need to get on stage and you need to have somebody at the judge's eye level helping you decide, is this the best and highest for me? Because I'm telling you, I could not believe it. Like, and I don't think those poor contestants had any idea that you could, nope, like our perspective, what we could see, you know?
Nope. And also like, fits, like, there are certain cuts and fits and things that are great for certain body styles, right? And then there are some that are not. And so being honest about that, just because this white dress is a thing and everybody thinks white wins, but if that white is not heavily lined or made a certain way or laying on you in a certain way, it may not be complimentary to you. White can also make people appear bigger. So if you are a curvier girl, right? You know, maybe wearing a white beaded dress might not be as complimentary to somebody that might be a little bit leaner or more slender or tall. You got to really be very honest with yourself about these dresses. Like, hey, again, wear the dress that is just, I mean, it should look like it's second skin. It fits you like, I would rather see a girl in a dress that, I mean, it's just laying on her just so, and she walks like she's gliding. And it might be a more affordable dress, or maybe it's not beaded, but I'd rather see that than something that's fully beaded and it's got all the things. It's got a collar and sleeves and a split, and it was this much, and it doesn't fit well, or if you're not carrying it off, or it swallows you because you're this petite little diminutive thing and you look like an ornament walking across the stage. And it's just, you know, like, I just wish girls understood it's not, I can't see the price tag.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know the story of the dress. So like, make sure it's not distracting.
Yeah.
From all angles and shoes. Please, dear God, make sure that the shoes flow with the dress. Like,
and that you can walk.
And you can walk in them. And you can walk in them, girl. A kitten heel never hurt nobody. I don't personally care for a kitten heel, but if you know, those platforms are not your jam. Like,
I know. I feel like evening gown is a very specific portion of a competition where girls really miss the forest for the trees. It's like they stand in their pageant pose and look in the mirror and think, this looks beautiful, but they aren't considering, how can I walk in these shoes? And does this dress look good for all, from every angle? Cause we see it from every angle, you know?
Yeah. Yep. I think for me too, it's like, girl, we know you're 5'3". You don't have to look statuesque. Like, I don't want to see you walk in this dress and you have this split. And then I see this 4-inch sole coming towards me and I'm just confused. Like, well, why didn't you just get a dress that actually fit? Like, what, why do you have to be on these stilts? Cause we know you're 5'3". Like, what is happening? It's just the allure. And you, maybe I'm a woman, a male judge might say something very, very, very different. Right. But
I think you hit on a woman. Is that it's those types of shoes. I don't care how much height they give you. They are distracting. They are distracting from the
whole. They're distracting and you look crazy. I'm sorry. Just my opinion. I know they exist for a reason, you know, because everybody has them, but my two cents on that.
I agree. I couldn't agree more. There's a lot of things in the pageant world that, like, on the judging side of it, you're just like, oh gosh, you're just missing the mark and nobody really knows it.
And you wish you could tell them. And I don't know if you felt like this judging Ashley, but as a former competitor, you're like, oh gosh, I know you really worked on that too. I know somebody told you that this was, did you do it on a stage? Like, and you feel, God, your heart kind of breaks for them because it's like, man, did you walk on a stage and see it? Or like, did anybody look at it from different, oh my God, because I cannot give you the score you probably want because it's, because you know girls put effort into it. You know they didn't just show up from something that they just did yesterday. Maybe some of them do, but like, you know, for the most part. And your heart kind of goes out to them because you're like, man, did they not tell them? Did they not want to tell them? Did they not see it? It's tough, you know?
It is tough. Tough. One more, because I want to be really cognizant of your time. This is, I think, the worst part of any pageant as a competitor is the onstage question. So what advice would you give contestants for onstage question?
Listen. Again. They should give me stock in this movie. I think it's called Field of Dreams. But for real, clear the mechanism. It is just you and the clear out the audience. It's you and that person having a conversation. I mean this. Block everybody out. The judges, nobody else is on that stage. But you and the person asking you the question and answer it just like that. Also, with on stage, I noticed at the last pageant that I was at that there was kind of like a panel discussion. If I could give one suggestion to girls in that panel discussion is talk. It's great to be polite and allow other girls to speak, but absolutely let your voice be heard. And if you have something to say, say it. Because if you're just sitting there being very timid, again, going back to the swimsuit and how it speaks to something more, that timidity speaks to something more. It's like, ooh, okay, if we sent you on this appearance by yourself and you had, because that will happen. You will have to go to many appearances by yourself and kind of troubleshoot. And that type of setup is less about the substance of what you said and more about how you handled it. Can you jump in and can you speak up, speak for yourself? So again, remember, it's still a job interview. What are you going for? So this is not the time to be timid. And to work on that, have round panel discussions, have mock interviews. Just like I'm saying, hey, go get that library room, have somebody get on a Zoom. This is the best preparation you can do. Set up a Zoom call with your friends and try to get a word in edgewise. Have topics and say, hey, we're going to talk about these topics. And I just want everybody to speak and practice jumping in. That is the best prepper for that round robin situation for on stage that I noticed you having, like, what was that, like the top five interview or whatever on stage. That's the greatest preparation for that. Do a Zoom call with your friends.
Yeah.
And just go, because you will have to learn how to let somebody finish a sentence, but let me jump in or let me interject. Let me remember everything that they said. It's a great preparation for that. Yeah. I would highly.
That is so smart. I'm so thankful that you have done this because I feel like you've given like real practical, tangible advice that these girls can take and like implement, you know?
Yeah, hopefully.
So, okay, before we go, tell me like where people can find you, like Instagram, all the things.
So I'm in the process of doing a big career pivot, which I'm very, very, very excited about that will be launching at the top of 2025. But for right now, until then, you can find me on Instagram at @1KristenWhite, and you can keep up with me as I get closer to my launch in January.
And I'll put that like in the show notes so that people can just click right to it. And then I saw in our group chat that you are in a movie. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah. So oddly enough, it is in alignment with the career shift that I'm doing. It's called How to Make Anyone Fall in Love with You. It's a rom-com, and I am playing the producer slash friend of the main character. So it's a supporting role. I'm really excited about it. So I'm hoping everybody will go on the journey with me.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited for you. Well, thank you for doing this. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, for wow. sure. Thank you, Ashley. I'm so glad that you're doing this. I don't know about you, but I wish something like this existed. I know when I was competing, I was searching for I just didn't know what I was doing. You know, I was searching for information, and sometimes you don't want to always have to pay for the info. You know what yeah. I mean? Sometimes you just wish there was a resource out there, somebody that would really tell their authentic truth of their experience in it. And it was hard to get to that sometimes, you know? So this is great. This is really great.
Thanks, Kristen. I'm truly so grateful for you being here. And for you guys listening, I put a link in the show notes to Kristen's Instagram page so you can follow along with her amazing journey. And stay tuned next week for the second part of Kristen's interview. I was truly blown away by her life experience and advice, and I know it will be just as beneficial to you guys. So be sure to follow along and subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss that episode. And as always, if you're looking for personalized guidance, I'm here to help. You can find me on Instagram at The Pageant Masterclass or visit us at pageantmasterclass.com. All the info is in the show notes as well. I would love to work with you on creating that undeniable package that lets the judges know you're the queen they're looking for. This has been a Front Row Entertainment production.